Hello there, and welcome to Ask the Expert, where you get to ask your questions from the experts on different topics that we're going to be covering. And today's topic is building web apps with Blazor. Now, I'm your host, Brian Clark, and I'm not the expert. I don't know squat about Blazor right now, but I'm looking forward to learning more from our friend right over here, this guy, Cecil Phillip. Hey, Cecil.
So I just want to know, if I want to ask questions to the expert, like, who do I ask questions to? Like, how does that work?
You're going to have to find an expert to ask, because I'm not it. I'm not it,
We're going to need to bring in another guest, man, to figure this out.
I think so. Maybe we'll poll the audience. So while we're chit-chatting here a little bit, folks, get your questions queued up. We'll get to as many of them as we possibly can. This is about you being able to ask questions about Blazor, building web apps with that technology, and trying to help you get started with your journey on that adventure. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, Cecil, let's get started. It's been a while. I'm a little rusty. Okay.
It's all good.
How are you? For one,
I'm good. It's a beautiful day outside in sunny Florida. It's a little crazy outside the door. That's why I'm choosing to stay inside of my house in my little bubble.
Very good.
So far so good. How's it going on your side of the world?
Good. Thank you for asking. Let's keep you distracted. Let's start off with, what is Blazor?
Okay, so Brian, I know you have a familiarity with like front-end frameworks and, you know, building things that run in the browser, right? And, you know, for people that exist in that world, should be familiar with things like obviously HTML and CSS. But in terms of like the programming language that drives that experience, it's mostly JavaScript, right? You know, JavaScript, maybe TypeScript, you know, and then maybe there's some type of front-end framework that you use to kind of enable that experience. So I remember many, many, many years ago, you know, I used to use jQuery. Like jQuery was my thing that I use to like add like these rich enhancements to like, you know, the web experiences that I was building. And then we went on from jQuery and we had things like Backbone, we had Angular, we had tons of stuff, right? Like now we have Vue.js and React and so on and so forth, right? Like we have these front-end frameworks because as we've kind of evolved as an industry, like our requirements and our needs have evolved. You know, I mean, the types of experiences that we want to create for our users have evolved also, right? So now we have these web frameworks, right, that allow us to build things. But throughout that entire history, they've been still very JavaScript-based, right? Because JavaScript is the language that's built inside of the browser, right? The browser understands JavaScript. It understands, again, HTML and CSS. Like, it understands those things natively. Now, as web development has become more programming and not so much so just like scripting and putting tags around, now we've had these needs for like even more things from our web frameworks. So folks are like, well, hey, we have tons of these other languages that are really cool for everything else, right? Like we build games with them, we build mobile apps with them, we build websites and web APIs and all kinds of things with these, you know, other languages. Wouldn't it be cool if we could put some of that stuff in the browser? Yeah. Right. And so this is kind of like what the team at Microsoft is, some folks on the ASP.NET team, they were like, how could we put .NET, the language that people are really familiar with for building, again, web APIs and websites and web applications, and take some of the power of that framework and how can I put it inside of the browser? And again, not just in the browser in terms of just like rendering a thing on the back end and putting it on the front end, but actually running .NET and Razor and some of those things that we're already familiar with actually in the browser. So actually having like a runtime and those types of things. And so that's kind of like a short version of what Blazor kind of enables for a lot of us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think it's very interesting to describe that history of things. I feel like we keep going in these cycles too. Maybe you've felt this way as well, where when we're building out websites, there's like the conventional websites, at least conventional from when I was starting out doing web development, where it was just like there's static sites. You'd make a request to the server and the server would send back those pages. The browser would render it for you. Then we moved into what you were talking about, like the web apps, which are like offloading some of that to the browser to work on a lot of it. And then I think we're kind of in a cycle where we're kind of going back to it a little bit too, where there's almost hybrid server-side rendering of some of the pages, some of it's being loaded on the browser. But anyway, that's kind of like the dynamic that I've experienced. So yeah, I'm definitely with you. And it's cool to hear of more options like Blazor to achieve those approaches to web development.
For sure. And then as you kind of alluded to, when you think about just how we build applications, right? Like everyone has like a different need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, there was a time where, again, like all web applications were back-end rendered. So when they're back-end rendered, what that means is that like I have to make a request from the browser to the server, and then the server is going to regenerate that page, like that HTML markup. It's going to do some work, maybe make some database calls, maybe call a third-party service, but ultimately like generate that markup for me and send it back to the browser so the browser could, you know, display that and interpret and display it for the user, right?
Yeah.
And then we move to that model where, you know, not so much of that computation was happening on the server, but it's happening on the client, right? And for some applications, that makes sense. You know what I mean? So obviously everyone's use case is different. For some applications, that makes sense. And, you know, then we also, like you said, we had the hybrid situation where, you know, well, maybe some of it is pre-rendered and then some of it is done in the browser. So again, it all kind of just depends. But again, kind of going back to like the main benefit of Blazor, it's really as a .NET developer, you know, as a web person, like you kind of have to know JavaScript, you know what I mean? Like it's not one of those, you know, I can exist in the web and not know HTML and CSS and JavaScript. Like these are things that you have to know. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of being productive, like with for .NET developers, you know, again, C# and NuGet packages and Razor and a lot of the tooling and packages that we already have, we already know how they work and we're productive with them.
Yeah.
So now if you think about like the time to productivity, can be cut down way less if I could just reuse some of the things that I have and then just ship it to the browser. And I think mm-hmm. that'd be great, right? So I'll give you a really interesting example. So you can imagine like you're doing a simple, I shouldn't say simple. You can imagine I'm doing like a shopping cart or e-commerce thing, which, you know, is probably a pretty common use case for a lot of folks.
Okay.
And you have a representation of something like a product, right? So, you know, typically what you'd have to do, let's say I have my front end is written in web framework X, right? Angular, React, Vue, whatever, right? My back end is written in .NET. I have to have a representation of that product in JavaScript and a representation of that product in the back end, right? And then now serialization needs to happen. And, you know, I got to make sure like all the properties are lined up. I got to make sure that everything's in sync. And it's just something that we just got used to it, right? But now with Blazor, like I can actually just have the same representation across the board, which I think is amazing, right? Obviously, there's tons of other benefits, but just as one of many, like that's one of the great things that we could talk about when it comes to like time to productivity. Like I don't have to re-envision that model in a different language, right? Like it's all .NET, front end, back end, server, client. Like it can kind of just exist in the same place.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And what I like about that is I don't want to generalize, right? Because it sounds like it very much can cater to folks that already have a C# .NET background, like you said, so that they can kind of, maybe they haven't had the chance to learn JavaScript, right? And allows them to hit the ground running, but then they might find edge cases where they would need to maybe leverage JavaScript. Is there, I guess, leading to this question, is there, maybe I'm getting ahead of ourselves too into the sure. weeds, Cecil, so feel free to push back on this, but is there like interoperability, if I'm saying that correctly, where maybe you have to use some JavaScript within Blazor or
yeah,
how,
for
how
sure.
does that?
For sure, for sure. So when you think about Blazor, and particularly I'm talking about Blazor WebAssembly, right? There's the flavor okay. of Blazor that kind of runs within the browser, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
We can talk about WebAssembly in a second, but just in terms of interoperability, because Blazor, right, which I believe stood for like, I don't remember what stuff. I think it's like Razor on the web or something like that. Because Blazor runs in the browser, right? It has access to all of the native APIs that JavaScript would, right? So anything that JavaScript can do, Blazor can do, right? Anything that is exposed to JavaScript, Blazor can get access to it either, you know, through, you know, a JavaScript interop itself, or, you know, sometimes a lot of our community members have NuGet packages that kind of, you know, create that for us, so we don't have to do that work, which is really cool. I'll give an example. So, you know, a lot of folks use things like the storage API, like local storage within the browser, which is a thing that kind of, you know, keeps, you know, not, it's not cookies or any of those types of things, but it kind of keeps like a key value store kind of persistent state in your particular browser, in your particular mm-hmm. tab. I can get access to that through Blazor, which is really cool, right? If I want to make web requests over to other web APIs and things of that nature, I could use HTTP client, because HTTP client is a thing that I'm familiar with on the .NET side. It works in Blazor, which is really cool. You know what I mean? If I want to do things like, you know, serializing different types and those types of things, like all that stuff works. So, you know, again, there's interoperability, not just with the stuff that's in the browser, but also with the rest of the ecosystem that .NET has with NuGet packages and those types of things.
Very, very interesting. I like to hear that because, you know, I'm drawing the parallels to my background and experience with JavaScript. And then I do have very many moons ago some experience with C# and .NET. And I do remember the HTTP client. So
that sounds like we got to bring you back over to our side a little bit, man. You got to keep over the fence and see what's going on.
Maybe. All right. Let's get to some questions from the folks in the audience. And thank you all for tuning in there. Keep those questions coming. I see them popping in. We're going to get to the first one here. One is, what databases are supported in Blazor, Cecil?
So databases supported in Blazor. So trying to see how I answer that question. So kind of like what I mentioned before, anything JavaScript can do, you know, Blazor can do.
Anything also, you can do, I can do. It just makes
anything you
do,
I can do better. We're going to start singing on the show, man. You're trouble. when it comes to databases, right? I think accessing a database from a website like directly is usually not something that I think we support a lot, like in general, like as web developers in general. Like I don't usually hear folks say, hey, I want to connect from the browser to SQL Server or to MySQL or whatever. It's usually I want to connect to my database through a web API, and then on the back end I'll have some stuff that happens, right? Like, you know, connections and connection pooling and those types of things. And a lot of the times, so that's a lot of the times that's for like security reasons as well. So if you're asking, can I run things that like open raw sockets and those types of things in Blazor? I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. I don't think so. I personally haven't tried it, but I also want to ask you the question, why would you want to do that? You know what I mean? Because again, Blazor WebAssembly, you know what I mean, is something that runs in the browser. You know what I mean? And the, you know, those types of things I probably wouldn't want to do it in the browser. If we're talking about Blazor on the server, because that's another thing that also exists, you could totally do it with anything because, again, it's running ASP.NET, it's running .NET, and so that should be able to work just fine. But in terms of Blazor WebAssembly, actually, one, I'm going to say I don't know because I haven't tried it, but in two, it also question why would you want to do that in the browser itself.
Yeah. So I'm going to take a step back, actually, a little bit before we get to some more questions because I feel like we're kind of maybe jumping ahead a little bit. And for someone like myself that's new to Blazor, I want to know, all right, where do I get started? All right? We haven't really kind of covered that just yet. We talked about what Blazor is. We got into some specific questions. Where do we go to get started with Blazor?
Sure. So why don't we do this? I actually have a browser tab open with tons of cool stuff. So why don't we switch over to my screen and we can talk about this really quickly.
Okay, cool.
So kind of like I said before, Blazor is, you know, one of the you know, the features of ASP.NET that we have today, ASP.NET Core specifically. And so if you want to get started with Blazor, like I definitely recommend you head over to the docs. You can go to .NET/Blazor, right? And then you could come over here to this Blazor website. You can click on the Get Started tab. And, you know, this is a really cool short tutorial that'll go through. Notice how it detects like what operating system that you're on. Like I happen to be on a Mac at the moment.
Nice.
And then it'll walk you through all the steps you need to get started with Blazor, right? So you could, you know, download, create your first app, run it. You know, you can show you how to add different components and things of that nature because Blazor works on a component model for building out things. Again, similar to things like React and Vue.js and things of that nature. And then you could kind of see what it actually feels like, you know, using Blazor. Now, I would tell you for people that are familiar with Razor, you know, R instead of a BL, a lot of your knowledge kind of just transfers, right? Like it's very similar syntax. It's very similar, you know, C# in HTML kind of mixture, which is really cool. But if you're new to .NET, again, it looks very familiar to something like, again, a Vue.js or a React, right? But we have code and markup kind of mixed in together a little bit. So, you know, you can visualize the functionality of your application in one place, which I think is really cool.
So just to go a little bit deeper into that, there's a question from folks in the chat. Are there any specific differences between Razor and Blazor that you've noticed? Similar, but are there any differences?
I mean, I would tell you it's the same Razor engine on both sides. Okay. Obviously, things are a little bit different because one runs in the browser and one runs in the server, right? But at the, in terms of syntax, like it's the same syntax.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In terms of the flavor of Razer, you know what I mean? So when you think about Razer and Blazer, right, it's not really a fair comparison. It's almost like asking, it's better to ask a question like ASP.NET MVC or ASP.NET Razer Pages versus Blazer, because all of them use the same syntax. So there's Razer in Blazer. I feel like I'm making like a rap song or something. There's Razer in Blazer, and then there's Razer in ASP.NET MVC, and there's Razer in ASP.NET Razer Pages, right? So the syntax is pretty much almost the same, just different frameworks, and you know they're using it differently. But like your knowledge should transfer almost, you know, almost seamlessly.
Okay, very, very interesting. Okay, it sounds like maybe there just might be, because like if you're working in the context of the browser, you might have a different set of APIs available to you versus if you're working in the context of like server side, right? That might be some differences there too.
Right. So that would be the difference, right? Because the environment is different. So you have to take into consideration that. Again, the way that you behave when you're running on a server versus running on a client should be very different. You know what I mean? Again, like if I'm in the browser, like there's certain APIs that I might want to call that are specific to the browser versus APIs I'm going to call that are specific to running within the context of an HTTP request on the web server. So again, it's in terms of syntax, it's pretty much the same. In terms of the environment, obviously it's different because they're just running in different places. But again, once you understand like the core syntax of what Razer looks like and feels like, then I think you being able to go between the two is shouldn't be too hard.
Okay, gotcha. So getting back to what you were showing here in the documentation, one thing I want to emphasize too, because we get a lot of questions or at least like surprise responses on this, like it's supporting multiple platforms in the sense of it's not just Windows, there's Linux and Mac OS that you can run this stuff on, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, and this is a little bit deeper than Blazer, right? Like ASP.NET Core and .NET itself today, right, are cross-platform. So, you know, once you're building on that foundation, you know, anywhere that ASP.NET runs, anywhere that .NET runs, you know, Blazer is going to be able to run too, right? So .NET 5 runs on Linux, Mac, it runs in Docker. You know, I believe ARM 64 support is in there as well. It runs in all those different places. And the same thing will be the case with .NET 6 and whenever .NET 7 and some of those future versions, you know, potentially come out. You know, you'll have that expectation of, okay, you know, I could have my app run, you know, like on the server, on the client, like wherever it is that I needed to run, as long as .NET kind of supports those types of environments.
Nice, yeah. It's good to see that kind of versatility there. And then I think that leads into, since we're in this, you know, getting started, there was a question in the chat room as well about how much time will it take to learn Blazer from scratch? And is there any learning roadmap you might suggest for somebody? I mean, it looks like right here, what you have in front of you is a great way to get started in terms of a roadmap of like what steps to take, what topics to cover. And oh, look at that. I see it says time to complete for each section too. So maybe that can be calculated as well.
Yeah, so let's kind of go through and look at some of these tutorials and resources that folks could use. Because one of the things that I always say, like everyone learns differently, you know, assuming that we're all starting from scratch, like we all learn differently and we all need like different types of resources to kind of let it click for us. So like what we're looking at here is the Blazer tutorial that's actually inside of Docs, and it's very, very much of a hands-on type experience. Our good friend, Mr. Jeff Fritz, shout out to Jeff. I think Jeff's in the chat hanging out somewhere. Jeff created a series that just recently came out, right? This came out on August 17th. So this is fresh, right? And it's about 12 videos on using Blazer. So again, kind of going back to the everyone kind of learns differently. So I showed you a little bit of a hands-on tutorial that you could go through. If videos are your thing and you want to sit down and watch a video or a series of videos, I definitely recommend that you go over and you check out Jeff's series here on Blazer. This can be found on Channel 9. I believe it's also on the .NET YouTube channel as well. So again, just like another option for you to learn how Blazer kind of works.
That's awesome.
And the last one I do want to point out super quickly, if you head over to Learn, so this is Microsoft Learn, which is our, you know, our online, you know, learning portal where, you know, we have tons of different stuff, not just .NET, but just tons of Microsoft learning things. There are Learn modules, right? And a Learn module is pretty much just like, almost like a series of chapters and tasks and things of that nature you can go through. And you can learn how to do Blazer, right? So here's one. This one is 47 minutes. And, you know, you can kind of go through here. You could see introduction. What is Blazor? Blazor components, things of that nature, and so on and so forth. I think Jeff might have actually contributed to some of these as well. I might be mistaken, but I kind of feel like he at least reviewed or contributed some of the content that's here also. So
the question is, did he still wear that wonderful Blazor while contributing that too?
Did he wear the Blazor while he was writing the Blazor? I don't know. Maybe he did.
I hope so. It's fantastic.
I need to get a shiny Blazor like that. But I feel like I'd kind of be like stealing, you know, Jeff's thunder. I feel like Jeff is the only one that should wear this Blazor. I should come up with something else, like a like a different color Blazor or a different hat or something.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I think that could work. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, we'll work it out. We'll work it out. So let's go back to the other part of that question someone asked. So these are the resources. How long would it take to learn Blazor from scratch? So if you're learning from scratch, for me is like a couple of different things. Does it mean that you're learning .NET from scratch? Because you have to learn .NET, and specifically you have to learn C# to be able to play in that Blazor world. Or do you already know C#? You know, I mean, maybe you've built some other things. I know you just kind of want to build up, you know, your skill set, and you want to add Blazor to that too. So it really depends. You know, it's you know, there's that's what do you call it? The consultant answer, right? Like it really just depends. I would tell you, if you already know Razor, if you already built web things with .NET and ASP.NET Core, learning Blazor is not a difficult thing to do. You could, you know, you could pick it up relatively in a short period of time. If you're new to .NET, then what I would recommend you do, because we have resources for all of these things as well, you know, if you head over to docs.net/videos, here you can see a lot of those 101 videos that the team has created in the past. And so if you need to get up to speed with what .NET Core is, what, you know, C# is, you know what I mean? I have the one here on ASP.NET, and Leslie, our friend Leslie, has something on ASP.NET Core. You know, here are some foundational pieces that I think would be great for you to go through to kind of just get up to speed in terms of like what it actually takes to build things with .NET. And then I'd recommend you go ahead and checking out Jeff's Blazor course, which I think would be cool. So again, just depending on, you know, how much of a beginner are you? Are you a Blazor beginner, or are you a .NET beginner in general? And then based on that, you can kind of pick and choose like the right point to kind of plug yourself in and move forward to be successful.
Nice. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Especially, it's definitely, I like how you put it as a consultant, the answer. It depends. I feel like it's an answer to a lot of questions when it comes to this field.
It always depends.
Yes. Question in the chat for you. Mm-hmm. Is Blazor only for creating web apps, or can we create Android or iOS apps with it as well?
It is not. So this is what I will tell you. So .NET 6 is going to be released this year in November, November.NETConf. So definitely make sure you check out .NETConf. You know, there's an RSVP and there's call for speakers and all those things that are open right now. But this year, they're going to release something called MAUI. And MAUI is really cool because MAUI is almost like the evolution of Xamarin Forms, is the way that we kind of look at it. And so, you know, if you're familiar with Xamarin Forms, you know, it's a tool that allowed us to write a lot of shared code that could get executed on, you know, tablets, Android, iOS, you know, different types of things. And I think now they're adding support for desktop. So not only Windows desktop, but also macOS desktop. Okay, cool. So you're like, okay, I asked you about Blazor. Why are you telling me about MAUI? Mm-hmm. The cool thing about it is that MAUI is going to have some native integrations with Blazor, or vice versa, however you choose to look at it. So I could write a Blazor app and plug it into a MAUI shell. So now, what does that mean? That means that, okay, if I write my thing in Blazor and I wrap it in MAUI, then I could write something that runs in a tablet, right? So my web app is now tablet enabled. You know, my web app is now Android and iOS enabled, right? And I have the ability to play in this world with, again, reusing the skills that I already know. I already know Blazor. That makes sense. I already know C#. That makes sense. I already know, you know, how to create components and things of that nature. That makes sense to me. Now, you know, what you can target as a .NET developer has just exponentially increased because not only does it have to be like a web thing, but now I could put my web thing in a desktop thing, in a mobile device thing. You know what I mean? I think, you know, just wherever MAUI runs, you know, you can put your Blazor things too. So the answer, the long answer is, or the short answer is no, it's not just for web. There's a lot of different places that you could go ahead and inject that stuff in.
So it's soon TM, right? Trademark that.
Yeah, soon TM.
Yeah. No, that sounds awesome, man. Like, you be transferable skills to different kind of platforms and types of development that you could do, all from that core set of your C#.NET background. That's awesome, and to see something like that. And to me, it sounds like it's fulfilling, defining that, or that definition of empowering developers that we, you know, so often say here, right? Like, you're empowering developers to use those skills to be successful in any area of development through that. That's impressive.
Yeah, and to kind of, you know, try to go on a little bit of a tangent, because, you know, every time me and you are on, we always go on tangents.
True.
You know, if you kind of look at the history of computing, right, and the history of programming in general, it's really all about, one, giving users the best experience that we can as developers, but then two, also giving the developers the opportunity to really, you know, be creative and be productive in the tools that they have, right? So, you know, if you already know a certain set of technologies, what else can I do to make you productive? Mm. And not only just productive, but more productive in a shorter period of time. You know, because if you think about it before, okay, I need to do Android, I got to learn Java, I need to do iOS things or macOS things, I got to learn Objective-C and or Swift, right? And I might want to do some custom components, I need to use C++, right? Like, I have to learn all the things. And then I have to also still learn the thing for me to do my web APIs and the thing that'll make me build my website, right? Those are all very different technologies. But as, you know, as a consumer, I'm just like, I don't care. I just want the thing to work, right? Like, let me use the thing. As developers now, we have to think about, okay, well, how can I make the look and feel the same? How can I reuse some of the code that I've already created to execute a particular work for a certain functionality? And for me, that's one of just the good benefits of .NET, right? Is that I could reuse my skills, I could reuse my code, I could use Visual Studio or VS Code, like, you know, a lot of the tools that I'm just already familiar with, and I could spread the types of apps I could build across the board. And so, again, we think about just being productive. You know, .NET is a great place to be today because, again, I can learn C#, I can learn Razor, and then I can now build Blazor apps, I can build MAUI apps, I can build desktop apps, and I don't have to, you know, relearn from scratch every time.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. And like I was saying before, it's impressive to be able to have that capabilities as a developer, having that power in your hands. It's awesome. It's an awesome feeling. All right, so we're getting close here. We'll take one more question, then we got to wrap up. Is there anywhere, like, there's a couple questions about components and being able to, like, use libraries or pre-built things that are there. Are there any ones from, like, Microsoft officially supported that people can go look at that are built for Blazor?
I'm pretty sure, I know MAUI has like the community toolkit, which has tons of different components. I don't know if we have a Blazor one or if we will have a Blazor one. That's a stay tuned to see what happens kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But we do have tons of partners that build a lot of components for Blazor. So if you look at folks like Telerik, Component One, SyncFusion, like all these types of folks, like, you know, have some type of Blazor components. There's also tons of open source ones from our community too. I know we had our friend Chris Satie, like, he's created a lot of Blazor libraries and components and things of that nature that you could help plug into your apps. There's tons of folks in the community that are doing some of these types of things.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I would just definitely say just pay attention to GitHub and, you know, your wherever you get social media for your developer news and things of that nature. Because I think there's a lot that's there, and then there's a lot that's still yet to come when it comes to, you know, additional components for Blazor.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Cecil, for being here as the expert that teaches about Blazor. For folks that need to go back and reference stuff, it's .NET/Blazor, right?
Yeah.
And then there'll be links in the description below as well. So thanks for joining us today, folks. Thank you for bringing your questions. It was very helpful. And be sure to leave your feedback in the chat for future references, for future shows and stuff like that. And check out the link below for any other past episodes you'd like to check out.
Bye, everybody.